In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is risen.
Here.
We only get to say that for a few more days. Until next year, that is. We hear in the prophecies of Isaiah that Israel's redemption and restoration are described in terms of their blindness and deafness being healed, their hearing and their sight being restored. We also see from the elder Simeon who received Christ in his arms, he called this baby the glory of thy people Israel and a light to lighten the Gentiles. Isaiah prophesied of the promised Savior, that he would grant recovery of sight to the blind. This is a prophecy which Jesus himself read in the synagogue and declared fulfilled in himself. In doing so, he showed forth God's works, his love, and his compassion. We also see throughout the New Testament, especially, themes of light and darkness. Light is often associated with enlightenment, with knowledge of God, spiritual sight, and with truth. While darkness is associated with confusion, ignorance, spiritual blindness, and falsehood. In today's gospel, Jesus encounters a man who is blind from birth. Now, there are a lot of interesting parts to the story, and I will highlight just a few of them. At the very beginning, when they encountered this man, the disciples ask, "Who sinned that this man was born blind? Him or his parents?" What a question. I see a person, and I assume they're a sinner. Well, we know that it could not have been him that sinned, that he was born blind, because he was born blind, and you cannot sin before you are born. Even the Jews believed this. Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. We hear in Psalm 50, which we pray every Orthros, it's part of the daily evening prayers, it's part of the preparation for confession. The priest summarizes this prayer quietly at the very beginning of Orthros when he says that God has given us an example of repentance through the prophet David when he composed this psalm. And in it, we say, "Behold, I was conceived in iniquity." Doesn't that seem to indicate that we were conceived in sin? That somehow sin was connected to us from our birth? But not so. That is not what we are saying. That is not what David was saying. It is certainly not the case that children are the result of a sinful union of their parents. God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. He blessed them. And so this is certainly not the case. Neither does it indicate that babies somehow sinned prior to being born. As I mentioned, this is just simply not possible. Rather, we exist in a world in which sin exists. It is a present reality and one from which Christ has set us free. So returning to the blind man and this question of his blindness, that the glory of God may be made manifest in him. The fathers of the church compare it to a man that builds a house but leaves one part unfinished. He has the opportunity later to demonstrate his workmanship, that the new work perfectly matches the old, indicating that the same person has done both. Through this act, Christ is shown today both as creator and redeemer, restorer. The glory of God that he speaks of is his glory. So Christ made clay and anointed the man and commanded him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. I had the blessing a number of years ago to seek out this pool in Jerusalem and to bend down and splash some of the water on my face. Not because I believe that it has any mystical healing powers, but simply to ask God to cleanse me of my sins and to restore my sight. And as I mentioned, this water, telling him to go and wash your face, was not because the water had any special healing powers in it. Surely, the Word of God, using his own saliva mixed with the dirt and anointing the man, is enough. In fact, he often would restore sight to the blind just with a word. But this sending him, go and wash, was to test and to demonstrate, to show to us this man's faith and obedience. Another interesting point of the story has to do with the Pharisees. Much like in last week's gospel reading, they got very upset that a healing happened on the Sabbath. They refused to acknowledge that the glory of God was present. They refused to rejoice that this man who suffered blindness from his birth has been restored. They interrogated this man and his parents, so much so that the man's parents were terrified. Out of fear, they refused to answer their questions. I don't know anything about this. He is old enough, go ask him. Leave me out of it. They feared what ultimately happened to their son. He was cast out. But this man had a complete lack of fear. He knew what happened to him. He answered their questions dispassionately and unwilling to let their interrogation discourage him in the least. He had confidence in his experience of God. So much so that when the Pharisees declared Jesus to be a sinner, this man said, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. But I know that he's from God. Because if he's not from God, how could he do this to me? How could God bless me through this man who would have been such a sinner as you claim? I'd like to highlight one thing that happens during this interrogation. There is a progression of faithfulness in the blind man. It's quite interesting. The blind man goes through several stages of faith. First, it's confusion. He's unsure. He knows only that he received his sight and that this man Jesus did it. And he makes no other declarations than that. After being pressed a little, he declares Christ to be a prophet. And after continued interrogation, he begins to see himself as Christ's disciple, saying to the Pharisees, "Why are you asking me these questions all over again?" Do you also, indicating that he is one, do you also want to become a disciple? What a great answer. And then he declares that Christ must be from God. And after encountering Jesus again later on, the man declares, as we will do shortly, I believe. I believe. And he worshiped him. As Christians, we are always becoming more and more what we were created to be. Our humanity is restored and completed when we have lived in Christ. We should never be stagnant or content with where we are currently. There's always progress to be made. And this requires a willingness to grow in Christ, like the man who was born blind who grew in his faith. This is not just a nice story of Jesus healing a blind man as he did many times, but a story of us, for we too are spiritually blind and in need of healing. And like the Pharisees, we find fault even in blessings, refusing to acknowledge the good things that God has given us and finding any little excuse to complain. We sin and we rebel against God, and we are in need of God's compassion and loving kindness, just as this man who was born blind was in need of his compassion and loving kindness. The Christian life is like a growing child. As their bones grow, their muscles are stretched, often accompanied by pains and discomfort. And if we are to fulfill God's desire for us, this is a necessary process that we must go through as well. The Pharisees were unwilling to change, stubbornly refusing to acknowledge God's compassion and power, even when such a clear example was given as this man who received his sight. The blind man not only received his physical sight, but more importantly, gained spiritual enlightenment as well. And when faced with this new reality, he was willing to grow and to change, to progress in faithfulness and to be enlightened, while the Pharisees chose to remain in darkness and ignorance. So, brothers and sisters, today let us join with this man who was born blind and had his sight restored and declare with one voice, Lord, I believe, and worship him. Christ is risen. Amen.